Portland Trailblazers star Damian Lillard has been playing out of his mind lately.
57 points! 57! Lillard! 11 trays, that is a team record!
But before Lillard took over Portland, for a brief time, Rip City belonged to Brandon Roy.
Brandon for the lead. Scoop shot. Yeah!
Roy's career came and went quickly, and since he retired due to knee trouble, the former star has been more or less invisible. But after years of trying, The Athletic's Jason Quick finally tracked him down.
Today, Jason joins us to talk about Brandon Roy's short but remarkable career and his struggles since retiring, which have included questions about his identity, a divorce, and a drive-by shooting.
I have to realize that life's not like basketball. It's not like, you go harder at it, work, it's just like, it's okay to step back.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. It's Thursday, February 6th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
Failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
So Jason, you've called writing about Brandon Roy your white whale. Why is that?
Well, Brandon has kind of disappeared from the Portland sports scene for about 8 years. And I've tried to reach out. All the numbers and emails I've tried with him all lead to dead ends. He kind of went into a little bit of a hole after he retired. But recently, as he started kind of coming out of his shell, I kind of started tracking him, and I finally got him at Garfield High School, where he's now coaching basketball.
And for those who might not remember, can you just give us a quick snapshot of his basketball career?
It's really kind of a tragedy. Brandon came to Portland at a time when the Blazers were in a really dark place.
They had the jailblazer era. We're talking about 98, 99, 2000, 2001 era. There were a lot of Blazers, got in a little trouble with the law, got in the trouble with the NBA.
There's never going to be another group like this. No team, no owner, no fan base, no general manager would stand for it. And it was kind of a perfect storm, Bob Woodson.
The Blazers were referred to as the jailblazers because they had so many bad characters. There were fights in practice, strip club incidents, marijuana infractions. There was a really falling out with the fan base and the community. And Brandon came in and he bridged that. He was this engaging, energetic, and really skilled basketball player who connected with the community.
So when I went to Portland, the fans seemed like Washington's. It seemed like a college environment. So I was like, naturally, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool to be around. So as much as I wanted to be like a good person, they embraced me that way.
And I think people realized that when he went to an event, like he talked about going and being a crosswalk guard at a school.
I would be a lifeguard, or not a lifeguard, but a crosswalking guard.
Right, right.
And hang out with kids and people and talk. And I was like, oh, this is kind of like college.
He didn't just show up like other players did. He interacted with people, and he became engaged with him and wanted to hear their stories. And it wasn't just a photo op or a thing that he was required to do. He took the time to try to connect with them. And I think people saw that and they felt that. In the course of that, I mean, he played at an all-star level, and he was a great closer.
Here's Blake to Roy. This is for the win.
Like Brandon Roy, you're never out of it. As you just come.
And so immediately he went from prized rookie to the pillar of the franchise, because he was not only excellent on the court, he was really excellent off the court as well.
And the tragic element of his story that you mentioned is really a result of his knees.
He kind of had a series of knee problems that started in high school, but continued through college, and then really started to take a toll when he was with the Blazers.
There was a lot that I had to do to be able to play in games that there's games I played great. And it was like, okay, I'm going to drain my knee after the game. And it got to the point where me and the doctors knew how much to drain, because we'd done it so many times. When I would drain it almost dry, it hurt it more.
This was a guy who in the regular course of an NBA season had to go through a lot just to be able to play, swallowing anti-inflammatory pills and draining his knees multiple times during the season. And by the end of his career, he ended up having 7 knee surgeries.
And perhaps the most memorable moment of his career was in 2011, towards the end of his career, in a dramatic playoff victory over the Dallas Mavericks.
To the rim. Where has this energy been for Portland?
He carried the team back from this huge deficit.
With the left, Brandon Roy. Another flashback move by Roy. Hard drive, finishing left at the rim. Right now, Brandon Roy's feeling it.
As a writer, there's only a few times that I've been at a sporting event and gotten goosebumps, and that was one of them.
Roy for the lead.
He said he felt like he was touched by gods.
You know, I call them basketball gods or whatever. Just like kind of paying their last respects to me. You know, like,
yeah.
Dude, you deserve this moment.
He was experiencing feelings that he'd never felt before on the basketball court. For the first time in his life, he was playing as free and doing things that he had never done before.
This one feels a lot more emotional tonight, Brandon. Why?
This is everything I've been through this year, huh? I mean, there were times I didn't know if I'd play basketball again. You know, in the Venus situation, we were down 20 points, and I just said, I'm going to play. I got nothing to lose.
I think he knew at that moment that I don't have a lot of these left.
And then less than 8 months after that incredible performance, he really stuns the basketball world by announcing that he's retiring at age 27.
Brandon Roy, after just 5 years in the NBA, forced to retire, lacking cartilage in both knees. This is just a gigantic bummer as we start the 2011-12 season.
As you would say, it's a buzzkill. Great guy. Worked hard.
There was a period of mourning in Portland, I would say, because this wasn't just a great player. This was, as I said before, a guy who really connected and really resonated. And because of how it ended so quickly, it hurt people here, because he was at the top of his game, and then all of a sudden it was cut off, and that was hard for Brandon to take, and it was hard for Blazer fans to take. And I think that's what has always made Brandon such a mystery in Portland, is everyone had this intense connection to him, but when he left, he left.
The Lead is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, smart, and growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Dylan Miskowitz, COO of Cafe Altura, experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. You can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/lead. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job so you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting his job to ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed by how quickly great candidates were applying, and he found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lead. ZipRecruiter.com/LEAD. That's ZipRecruiter.com/lead. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
And so, Jason, Brandon Roy did briefly try to come back after he retired, but it didn't really happen. And it seems like moving on to life after basketball was particularly hard for him.
It was rough for him.
It's like, dude, you got to move on. And but at the time, yeah, I was really down. It was hard. You know,
imagine. Like many athletes, he kind of had an identity crisis. He didn't really know who he was. And I think it was even more frustrating for him because he felt like he was still in his prime, age-wise.
I just love basketball.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say the tragedy is, that I walked away from like basketball entirely.
Yeah.
And it's something that I did my whole life. Like I can smell the air. And this has been in Seattle. I can smell the air because when fall's starting to come, I know it's basketball time. Like, you know, I would, even as a kid, it was like, and that was hard. You know, it was hard to not be a part of preparing. It's like, I would know when it's
time. He was sad. I mean, he was very honest with it. He was sad and he kind of went into his shell. And, you know, he had this really heartbreaking story of his son coming up, Brandon Jr., and saying, it was a video of one of his performances and saying, "Daddy, do you remember this?"
Mm-hmm. So he started bringing me like, "Daddy, you remember this shot?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Do you remember any that he brought you?
Yeah, I remember everything. But I would say, yeah, I would go, yeah, but I was like, I ain't really ready to try to talk about it.
And then it was about a 2-year span where he didn't watch basketball, didn't want to go see any level, his kids, college, NBA, any of that. But particularly right when it happened, you know, he said he would turn on the TV and announcers would be like, "Oh, it's so sad what happened to Brandon Roy." And he would just turn it off and go, "Ugh." I think he's wrestled with where he stood in Trailblazers history and in Trailblazers fans' hearts. He didn't know if he had become forgotten.
You got that feeling like not only does your girlfriend break up, but she moves on and is doing well. You know, mm-hmm. I'm looking like, Damian Lillard is great. You know, Portland's not gonna remember me. LaMarcus Aldridge is doing good. Like they're
he would take a peek and he would see that the Blazers were flourishing. They were winning. They had this new young hotshot, Damian Lillard. And his old co-star, LaMarcus Aldridge, was now considered the franchise pillar. And he had a feeling that, well, maybe they're not going to remember me and maybe my time has really passed. But in reality, it couldn't be further from the truth.
And how did he emerge from that first dark period of his life?
I think it was a combination of things. One, it was his kids kind of starting to get older and become more curious about his past. You know, they started getting on the internet more and friends would ask them more about their famous dad and they kind of wanted to know what it was all about.
And then I started saying to myself, nah, he wants to talk about this stuff. So I gotta relive it you know, with him. Uh-huh. So since I would say 2015, 2016, I watched that stuff more with my kids because they're into YouTube.
He started gradually saying, okay, yeah, I've got to come to grips with this and let them enjoy and learn about my past.
There's days where my son, you know, he's just got his Instagram and he's like, Dad, you scored 52 points on this day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that wrong?
I feel like it was December
18th. Does that, you know.
But then also, he kind of connected with the people at Garfield, his old high school, and he started opening the gym. And it was the smells of the gym, the sounds, that really kind of brought him back to basketball and kind of realizing that, okay, yeah, I can't play anymore, but I still love this game.
And so after organizing those pickup basketball sessions at his old high school, he actually becomes a high school basketball coach. And he's enjoying that. And he's, you know, watching his old YouTube videos with his son. It seems like he's doing really well. But then things take a really dark turn.
He was in Compton, California, visiting his step-grandmother. And it was a great celebration. The month before, he had won the state title in his first year of coaching high school basketball. And then they were named national champions as well. So they were having this great celebration. There was a jumpy house out for the kids. There was a basketball court, barbecue. You know, his grandmother, step-grandmother, was like, Brandon, I want you to go outside and play with the kids before you leave. I really want them to have that experience. And he remembers being out on the court and the kids were all razzing him about, how come you can never beat Kobe Bryant and the Lakers?
I'm literally talking and I was tat, 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 tat. That was fireworks. I thought the kids started like fireworks. They were kind of speaking about doing it earlier that day. So we had like a hoop outside.
But then he looked at his sweats and he had holes and blood in his sweats. And so he was covering kids and trying to kind of get them to safety, make sure they were protected.
And next thing you know, you're literally laying in an ambulance and lights just like that. And you're like, you know, just kind of reflecting. And I was just like, damn, like, you know, I can never imagine, you know, going through my life without my parents. And I just was so scared for my own kids because it's just, you know, the world's a really, really scary and cruel place.
Four people were shot. He was shot three times in each buttocks and in the right thigh.
And what do we know about the reasons behind the shooting? It just seems so bizarre.
Yeah, we don't know much. He has cooperated with the Compton police and the Seattle police, and they are saying it was just kind of a random shooting and that neighborhood in Compton isn't necessarily tied in with any certain gang, but there is gang activity around there. But that is another thing that has kept him up. He's had incredible nightmares where he, every time in the nightmares, he dies.
Yeah, yeah, I've woken up a few times where, yeah, you know, I'm in full sweats. Like, yeah. I mean, I literally, you know, I have to lay towels down a bit.
Damn.
Because like, I can't get back in because the bed's wet.
Yeah.
And I'm like laying the towel.
And part of what haunts him is he doesn't know if he was targeted. He doesn't know if there was a reason behind it or if it was just absolutely coincidental. He talks about being in Seattle and, you know, filling up gas and something fell at the gas station and he flinched big time because he was like, oh God, here it comes again.
Somebody dropped something. I'm like, that's when I realized I was like, oh, I need to, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it was like, pat, and it's like, oh, I thought it was going again. And yeah, every time it was.
You got some PTSD there.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going through a divorce. He got shot. He felt tremendous guilt and a tremendous amount of fear. It's been something that has really stayed with him and really haunted him.
So the shooting happened in April of 2017. So it's now been almost 3 years. How's he doing now?
He realized that after the shooting and the divorce that he needed to take time for himself. He needed to kind of find himself in a way and really kind of give himself some attention.
I had to realize that life's not like basketball. It's not like, you know, oh, you know, you go harder at it, you know, work, you know, it's just like, no, it's okay to step back and say, with the way things are going, you're not happy. Mm-hmm. you know, don't keep going down that path.
He felt like he was being stretched thin with the coaching, the divorce, kids, family, and he took a year off from high school coaching. And I think in that time, he started to kind of calm down and reprioritize things.
You know, I watched my son play, and and he played great. Like late in the game, he came in and put a big three, and I was just like, I felt just as, you know, I got that feeling like, damn, like, look at my boy. It's a pretty cool feeling, you know? It really is, you know? And then after the game, it's
just he's like, really connecting. And not that he was a bad father before by any means, but he has really connected on a different level with them. He has started to find happiness in the little things, like taking his kids down to Lake Washington and watching them swim and bike and playing catch with them.
And I just sit there at the beach and cross my legs and let them play and put a little something on the phone. And it's like, nah, grow my beard out when I want, you know, yeah. I don't have to look a certain way. Yeah. And that's living for me. Yeah. You know.
And then also he's become engaged again. In June, he proposed to his girlfriend. I think she's been very understanding and helpful in his kind of process of growing and coming to grips with his past and becoming this new man. He seemed really happy. And, you know, he was always careful, like, hey, don't make it sound like I'm 100% better and everything's the top of the world, because this is life and there's still bad days and good days.
You're saying you don't want to make it sound like you're at the peak.
Yeah. Like, you know, some people are like, oh my God, I'm doing so good right now. Like, no, I'm just doing good. I'm in a really good place, you know?
And he says that I'm comfortable now where I feel okay being on the public stage again.
And what does he say about the possibility of going back to a Blazers game? It's been something like 8 years, apparently, since he's been to one.
He vowed that he will come back. Because Brandon Jr., his oldest son, has been relentless in kind of begging him to go to a Blazer game. Brandon Jr. was around when Brandon was still playing with the Blazers, and he kind of famously accompanied him at a playoff press conference where Brandon brought him up, and BJ, as he's called, was playing with the microphone. But Brandon Jr. doesn't have any memories. He was too young. He can't remember the arena or any of the games or any of the people. And so he's really been bugging Brandon to get him to a Portland game. And so Brandon says, you know what, I'm going to do it. They have invited him back. This is their 50th anniversary season. And on periodic nights, they honor a decade. And the 2000s decade is going to be February 23rd. And they've invited him back. So I think if he doesn't come to the February 23rd game, I really feel like Brandon's going to make it happen this year where he'll come to a Blazer game.
And Jason, what will stick with you the most about your conversations with Brandon?
I think it's that he's human. And I think that's what helps us all connect with professional athletes, is when we're able to break down this kind of idea that they're immortal.
You know, I always laugh. You know, people say, like, you know, who would you rather be, Batman or Superman? I'm like, Batman, because he's real. He's human. I'm not an alien.
Right.
I'm flesh and blood. Like, I'm normal. I'm just normal.
Reminded me why we all cared about him so much in Portland. Because he did that when he was just a youngster, a kid playing. He showed us himself. He was unafraid to show his flaws and his heart.
Well, Jason, it's a very powerful story, and thank you for sharing it with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
You can read Jason Quick's story about Brandon Roy and follow his coverage of the Portland Trailblazers at theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. The Andre Iguodala soap opera is finally over. The Memphis Grizzlies traded Iguodala to the Miami Heat for a package that includes Justice Winslow. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Iguodala has agreed to the trade and signed a 2-year, $30 million extension with the Heat.
Iguodala, of course, hasn't played a game for the Grizzlies this season. After the Warriors traded him to Memphis last summer, he worked out a deal with the front office that allowed him to stay home in San Francisco as the team tried to trade him to a contender. The situation was mostly quiet until recently, when Iguodala appeared on national television talking about his preferred trade destinations. And that led to public criticism by young Grizzlies players like Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks. And at some point, Steph Curry even jumped in, seemingly to defend his former teammate. Earlier this week, The Athletic's David Aldridge reported that Iguodala was prepared to sit out the season if he wasn't traded to one of his approved teams. The NBA trade deadline is today at 3 p.m. Eastern.
And the Kansas City Chiefs had a big old Super Bowl victory parade on Wednesday.
Most important thing I wanted to do was get the Lombardi Trophy for the greatest coach of all time, Andy Reid, baby!
The players braved some pretty frigid and wet weather in Kansas City, but managed to stay warm mostly by chugging some beers.
I'm wearing about half the beers I've been trying to drink, baby. It's been a long time coming, because what did we do? We had to fight for our right to party!
And in a couple of strange twists, police were involved in a high-speed chase right along the parade route that ended with two suspects being arrested. Maybe they thought they could escape by blending in with the parade. And a Chiefs fan who was videotaped climbing a tree to get a better view first showed off his bare behind and then took a pretty nasty fall from the tree. And it's actually not clear if he's okay. So all in all, just what you'd expect from a Super Bowl parade.
If you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and every major listening app. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. See you tomorrow.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.